You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, before we get to these conversations for the final time this year, we're going to be reflecting on the markets and what has been moving those markets. I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, Nick Kunz, to take a look at this and see how the markets have been performing. Nick, lovely to wrap up the year with you. Always lovely to catch up with you throughout the year, but I think it's nice to be able to end the year on a high. I don't know if we've had too many of those years where we've been able to wrap up the last trading week of the year on such a high. I mean, the platinum price is heading towards $2,000 an ounce at this point.
Yeah, Jimmy, good evening. Yeah, just kind of like good news all around. I'm too nervous to sort of jinx it with a week to go. But yeah, today was what they call futures closeout at the JSE. We also had, we've got JSE month there next week with rebalancing tomorrow, but it's effectively almost done. And looking, JSE All Share 36% up year to date as of today. And you mentioned the PGM space, the gold. We don't talk about silver much. That's up over 130% this year. It really is a good year for miners. And actually, looking forward to that conversation that you're having later with Mr. Major. It really is extraordinary year so far.
Nick, I'm struggling to find anything to really be upset about if I'm looking at the year. The oil price is at $60. It's not at $70. I know we don't want to jinx this, but the Rand's at 16.71. Markets are at all-time highs. It's very difficult to find a market where you can look back and say, well, this was underperformance for the year. It really has been. And I suppose this is the first time, if I can remember, probably since the pandemic or pre-pandemic, it's the first year in 5 years where we have very little to complain about.
Yeah, that's true. Look, I mean, if you really want to be a bit of a stickler, we could say, look, we'd nice to have 3 or 4% GDP growth in South Africa, not 1.8. But I mean, even saying that, I mean, we are going in the right direction, and let's hope it gains more traction into year end. Look, another bit of a bar humbug. I think the guys in Pretoria could have had rates a little bit lower. I still think South Africa's real rates relative to the rest of the world are a little bit on the higher side, and they can come down quite a bit, I think. But again, that might be something to look forward to for 2026, where we have a year of lower interest rates here in South Africa.
Yeah, but Nick, for now, I mean, I know how you feel about Pretoria, and we're all in agreement there, but let's be grateful that inflation targeting has been moved, because that's another big win, right? You can't, you don't often get the opportunity to do that. And again, in South Africa's case, it's never been done.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I do say it in jest. I mean, they are a world-class team up there, and what they are doing, and there's a reason they, you know, Mr. Kanyagi's won the, I think, Central Bank Governor of the World, I think, twice. No one's done that before, such as the talent that we have. But nevertheless, I mean, they really, it is a good thing. You know, it's obviously led to a bit of inflows. We need foreign direct investment. The rand is stronger. Look at our bonds. And so from a layman's point of view, they look at the rand every day and they think things are, you know, looking pretty good. But if you actually pull the knock-on effects of the rand where it is, and the knock-on effects of a lower inflation targeting of 3%, and the bond yields coming in at where we're now 8.4, 8.5%, extraordinary moves in our bonds. So you talk about the stock market, the bond markets had switched already, but the knock-on effects of all of this, it's cheaper financing, it's better for the fiscus. The ability to raise debt at lower rates is good for the economy. So all in all, it really is the end result. I think we've got a bit of a tailwind, even after the run we've had going into 2026.
Nick, let's take a look at the dollar index. We thought we had kind of bounced just above that 95 points mark, just below that 100 level, but we're seemingly back below there. The dollar weakness continuing. This is, again, from a dollar perspective. For context, we started off the 2025 year almost at 110 points. So to come back down to where we are now after the year that we've had is a very telling sign from a US dollar perspective.
It is. I mean, and those who like to sort of look at the facts and the figures, that move that you pointed out from a 110 on what they call the Dixie down to under 100, we haven't had a move like that on the dollar index for half a century, 50 years. So they really are historical moves. And you know, the effect of this weakening dollar obviously playing directly into our stronger rand, and also playing directly into the commodity basket, which is obviously a net positive for a lot of emerging markets, and a positive for those who have dollar-denominated debt. So, you know, that weaker dollar, not great for, say, some of the Americans, but for other countries who and dollar-based sort of commodities, it's been a win-win.
Nick, I know you and I are both looking forward to getting a bit of a breather considering how many conversations have happened this year from a markets perspective, especially in the context of South African markets with everything from the three budget speeches to the delayed interest rate cuts. It has
Seems like a busy
year. And that's all happened in 2025. I mean, our bingo card is more than full at this point. I want to get your thoughts around what you're looking ahead to next year. I know you and I will catch up early in the year to plan the year out and see what that could potentially shape up looking like. But is there anything that really has you excited to think about from a 2026 perspective, both locally and internationally?
So I think from a local perspective, I think a lot of the geopolitics or things that are higher up that we've got control of. So from a governmental point of view, I think it's been some huge sort of positive sort of impetus on the likes of transit getting up and running. There's been a big, obviously, load shedding is hopefully a thing of the past, and just leaning more on the logistical side of transit and stuff, you know, to be able to sort of you know, put a long term lease. I don't know the exact terminology with that pier number 2 out of Durban, you know, with a foreign entity, the Philippines coming in, and there's a real sort of political will now to get the best people in, to get the economy moving and moving quickly. And I think if that runs through into next year, I think we've got a lot of good positives to happen from a South African point of view. Sure, there's a lot of, as I said, a tug in cheek, you know, nice to get 2 or 3% growth, but that's got to be a target. If we can start getting growth north of 2%, real GDP growth that's growing faster than our population, then we can start making a real dent into unemployment, which is the real issue, and the rest will follow through. So that's a real good thing to look through for from a South African point of view. From an offshore point of view, I think that becomes a little bit more tricky, quite honestly. I think the easy money for me has certainly been made from an offshore point of view. I think next year starts to get a little bit tricky. We've already seen signs of a potential bubble in AI that's something to be a little bit concerned of. And of course, there is still geopolitics to worry about. You know, the Middle East is still very, very fragile. Russia and Ukraine, as much as Mr. Trump has been talking about it, that hasn't been resolved yet. So that's still also in the background. And I guess from an investor's point of view, a little bit to be cautious of 2026 is the fact that this AI bubble is potentially still here, and that might need to deflate. But on the positive side for global markets next year, we're definitely heading into a lower interest rate environment. So, cost of capital is going to get cheaper going into next year. The economy probably is slowing, but it's not slowing as quickly as we thought. And I think there's probably a little bit of the same. Although, as I said, little valuations are looking a little bit stretched offshore at the moment. But all of those together, it's a little bit of word of caution on the global side, but I still think there'll be a little bit more of the same. We might have to take stock of where we are with our scorecard halfway through the year. But the first quarter, I think, was still much of the same.
Nick, let's leave the conversation on this note. I don't want to jinx it. I know we're not trying to jinx any conversations at this point, but do you think the markets have finally started to price in the, for lack of a better term, uncertainty and craziness, instability that's coming out of the White House? Do you think we might be in for a year where markets take it in their stride more so than they have been able to do this year?
No. It's a brutal answer.
There goes the Christmas present.
Bah, humbug. I think the signs that are coming out of the White House, the erratic, the midnight tweets of all hours, I don't think that's going to change. And of course, the big one next year, we didn't even touch on it, is the new Fed chair. So the new Fed chair is coming. I think Mr. Powell officially steps down in May. So that's also a big one as well, depending, you know, Mr. Trump's made a secret of the fact that he wants, interest rates at zero or something ridiculous like that. So that could also add, you know, more volatility to the markets and certainly, I think, a long-term, a much weaker dollar. So yeah, no, that might be the one that sort of to just be very, very careful with, because I think that volatility is going to continue coming from Washington.
Well, that's exactly where we're going to pick up the conversation next year when we come back, and we're going to be looking ahead to what is going to potentially happen with the US Fed. But for now, we will leave this conversation on this note. Thank you so much to Nick Kunz for all of the contributions throughout the year and for always giving of his time to help us break down some of the market movements and market sentiment on the show.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.